And now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And just a very early television review for you. We've got some feedback. The new Spy TV that's coming on, I hear it blows an entire primate house. That's how bad that show is. Spy TV, a real pile. And Fear Factor, I understand, is marvelous. Apparently, it's very compelling because people are going through these things that would cause any of us to be exceedingly afraid, including one episode where they lay there and let rats gnaw on them. Now you know what it's like, and the excitement and the joy and the fun of growing up poor in New York. And you can do it. You can do it courtesy of your friendly neighborhood network. Just lay there and let a rat eat you. What do you want, bud?
I want to go on Fear Factor.
You want to go on Fear Factor. That's great.
Yeah, I want to, the thing that I've always feared is having my face pressed into Rush Limbaugh's butt crack.
Well, what makes you think they're going to do that on that show? You are such an idiot, man. You are...
No, but hey, what do you mean? Fear Factor, what are you fear of?
Fear Factor may be what you're afraid of. They're not going to have you stick your face into Rush Limbaugh's rear end, okay?
Not up the crack.
Is that something you've always been afraid of?
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
What?
Don't do it. Next time you see Rush, make sure you don't have your nose up his rear end, okay?
Well, it'd be tough because there's probably about 20 other people that got it there already.
You know something, man? How you doing, Harvey? Harvey, you there?
Yeah, right here, Phil.
What's up?
Listen, I wanted to give you a little bit of news.
Yeah?
Yeah, I wanted to tell you what I went through yesterday. And you might be interested in it.
What?
Well, I as you know, I've got a problem with my little bit of a problem. I got a little...
With your throat?
No, well, I do have that. But I have a little bit of a problem with elimination. And so one of the things that I enjoy is...
Do you want to get some water so we can get this phlegm problem cleared up right out of the gate so that we're not dealing with that?
All right, hold on.
That's the weirdest way I ever heard a guy clear his throat.
What?
That's the weirdest way I ever heard anybody clear their throat. How could that possibly clear your throat out?
Well, it's a phlegm thing.
Jesus, man. How could you, if you're going to clear your throat clear like this, do that. Okay, dude, so what about it?
All right, so I like to sit down and do a little bit of reading after I have my evening meal in the hopes that maybe something will, you know, pass through my colon.
Yeah. And?
Well... last night I sat down with my favorite form of reading, which is the New York Times, and guess what I saw?
Oh, did you see the thing?
Yeah, I saw your really scary face in New York in the New York Times magazine, and instead of having a normal bowel movement, pure blood. And I went.
Okay, so the point of the call here then was to put me down. Because I was in New York Times
No, no, I'm telling you, Phil. I'm not trying to put you down, but what would ordinarily have been a normal bowel movement was blood.
After seeing my face?
Yeah, as a matter, I mean, I got to chalk it up to that. It's never happened before. You see, I can't even sit down and read my favorite newspaper without looking at you. And there you...
Yeah, well, they did the interview with me, and there I was. And, you know... what do you want me to say? It was in the newspaper, and there was my face.
Yeah, 9 pictures of you. You know, one of the things...
And what would you like me to do? Would you like me to turn down the New York Times when they want to interview me?
Huh?
You want me to turn them down? Do you want me to say no?
Turn down what?
Do you want me to... When you said that you went into the bathroom to go to the bathroom, and instead blood came out when you saw my face in the New York Times.
Yeah, that's right.
Would you like me not to be in that magazine?
I would have preferred not to have seen you, yeah. I would have preferred to have finished my meal, gone into the toilet, sat down, opened up the New York Times magazine, and seen something other than you.
Well, the next time they call me for an interview, I'll say, no, sir, I can't do it because my friend Mr. Wireman may pass blood.
Well, that's a nice way to, I mean, would you really?
No, I wouldn't really do that, man, because I don't care, Harvey, whether you pass blood or not. Why don't you go to the doctor and get it taken care of?
I have been doing very well, but when the only joy you get, you know something, you don't understand. I'm 73 years of age, and the only joy I get is the Sunday New York Times.
You live in California. Why don't you read the L.A. Times?
Huh?
Why don't you read the L.A. Times?
Read the L.A. Times? Nobody. What am I going to do with that? I got the L.A. Times on a roll in there. I'll wipe my ass with it, but I'm not.
Okay, see, the only joy you get is the Sunday New York Times, and there was my face in New York Times Magazine. Next time they call me to interview me, I will say no thank you because there's a bunch of old people that won't be able to have a bowel movement normally if they see me in there. Is that what you'd like me to say that?
Yeah, yes, I would, but I know you're being facetious. And
I'm being what?
Facetious.
Facetious? You got that on the brain, you know.
Facetious is what I said.
Get some water, man. And thank you for the insult.
What? How did I insult you?
Because you know exactly how you... You know, I don't even have the time for this, man. I'm not going to talk to you. You're going to call me up and insult me because I was in the New York freaking Times. And now it sounds like I'm self-aggrandizing, like I want to talk about this.
No, I called you up to ask you if you would do me the favor... Of the next time warning me or something, okay?
All right, I'll call you and say, hey, Harvey, don't read the New York Times this week because I'm going to be in it.
That would be great. Phil, I'm not putting it down. It was a very well-written article about a guy that makes me pass blood.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you got medical problems, huh?
Huh?
You got medical problems well beyond what I can do. But I'll call you and warn you.
Huh? What?
Yeah, bye.
Say what?
Now you know he's doing it on purpose, jive. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Ford and Firestone. So they're suing each other because one is blaming the other and the other is blaming the one. Ford says that the tires were faulty and it makes their SUVs look bad. Firestone says, hey, what's up with your cars if every time a tire blows, they're rolling? And you know what? They're both making really good points. I got a great idea. Let's not buy anything from either one of them. Or are they still sponsors on the show? Or have they ever been a sponsor on the show? And just exactly as I mentioned yesterday, what are we allowed to say when somebody is sponsoring the show as it pertains to a certain product? You know what I'm saying? People don't get it. Free speech. I addressed a journalism class up at Oxnard College like 10 years ago. And I talked about this whole thing of speech on the radio and sponsorship. And if there is a sponsor... And you don't want to say anything bad about that sponsor because they are a sponsor to your show. Is that free speech? And people would say, well, you can say what you want and they have the right to cancel, right? So I don't know which side of that whole thing I'm on, right? But, you know, I got this stuff in my house. Like yesterday I was talking about the AT&T phone that I have. Maria's got she's got an AT&T cell phone. We have an AT&T phone in our kitchen. It doesn't work anymore. I've had it for 4 months. It doesn't work anymore. I don't care if I got to bring it in and get it fixed because maybe there's something wrong with the battery. I don't want to have to do that. I don't have the time to do that. I don't have the patience for that. I may kill somebody on my way over to the store to get it fixed because I'm so irate. That's the kind of guy that I am. Maria's got her little AT&T cell phone. She loves it. So you see what I'm saying? On the one hand, they suck. On the other hand, they're a lifesaver. So AT&T, what do I say about them? They're only one of the biggest companies that God has ever allowed to exist. But I know I can bring them down with what I'm saying. The same thing with Sears. Remember we got on that whole Sears kick a few months ago? Well, okay, I understand that Sears got a bug up their rear end in Hawaii, of all places, so we lost an affiliate in Hawaii. Not that it's the biggest loss in the world, not that I'm crying over the loss of Kamanawanalea Village and wherever the hell it is, you know, some Polynesians burning some wicker man. It's, I don't know, but fact is, they canceled because they didn't want bad stuff said about them. And then you get into this argument. Well, if you're a sponsor, if you have a product and you want to place the product as a commercial buy in talk radio, what are you, nuts? Because it's a very controversial medium. So why the hell would anybody really want to advertise in the realm of talk radio? I'm grateful that they do, but if you're trying to avoid controversy, for God's sakes. What are you smiling and nodding at, Schaefer? You don't even know what I'm talking about. He's in there. I know. You understand. I'm joking. All right. It's time now here on the Phil Hendry Show. This is our second annual feature, When Did It Start to Suck? Yes. When did these TV shows start to suck? We all know we have a favorite program, but we also know that somewhere along the line, they just sort of lost their edge. And these moments that they lost their edge can be identified. You can identify it almost down to the moment, down to the instant, down to the nanosecond, when these programs started to blow, started to suck boatloads. Blowing the entire primate house. Sucking Chodilia. Yes, when did they start to suck? Start out now with a show called Weakest Link. We all know that that show went from good to suck-ass status about the fifth time we heard her say goodbye. Because, you know, that's when you're feeling violent. Anytime you feel violent, that's when a show is, they've pushed it. Kids have it on all the time, man. Yeah, but that's a whole other story, my kids. Ooh, man, do they piss me off. 60 Minutes, that show went from a kind of a cool Sunday night institution to suckdom when Andy Rooney started noticing things that nobody else noticed, nobody else wanted to notice. You ever see how the New York Times... No, I never see. That whole observational school of humor, as a matter of fact. You know, you walk down the street and I'm dating again and none of your experiences relate to me at all, man. Thank you. Craig wants to know, when did my kids start to suck? Day 3 of our marriage. Becker. You know the show Becker? That started blowing apes the minute Ted Danson played somebody other than Sam Malone. How about Survivor? When did that show really begin to grate on our nerves? I know you still dig it, but in your own way you hate it. I dig it, man. I watch it, but you know it's already passed into suck status. The reason why it sucked it started to suck after the first lawsuit. The very first lawsuit from a contestant pissed that they weren't going to get a shot at doing a movie or a commercial or sleep with Jeff Probst or a book deal. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Here's an interesting program, and a lot of shows make this mistake. What's she called? Buffy the what? The Vampire Slayer, right? So why is she dating a vampire? What's that about, man? Even I'm not that dumb to make that mistake. That show has had it. She's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Oh, no, excuse me. There's a good vampire. Anne Rice, I curse the day you ever wrote that book. Because now we got, like, good vampires. And it's a vampire named Angel. Just put a stake through him and be done with it, okay? Just... Oh, however the hell you do it these days. Cut off the head, shove it full of garlic. Beverly Hills 90210. When did that start to suck boatloads? Oh, yeah, Craig makes a very good point. It's like a Klansman dating a black woman. Why don't we do the show, The Klansman? That's what it ought to be called. Forget the Beverly Hillbillies. Come and listen to a Klansman in a story named Jed. It's the Beverly Hillbillies, it's the Klansman, and Jed starts dating a black woman. But they're still burning crosses, you know what I'm saying? Well, now, Louise. Maybe it's Wheezy from the Jeffersons. He's living with her, and she's cool. He loves the hell out of her. It's like Archie Bunker, where they always tried to clean up that thing where he was like a racist and a homophobe, and he was an anti-Semite, but he had the little Jewish niece. You'll notice that show went into the toilet when he started doing that. Honey, I got to go out and burn a few crosses tonight. I hope that... Well, you come on back! How don't you think I'm late? Something around
around with all your friends, hanging around with all that trash down by the liquor store.
Well, I'm just going to burn some crosses and sit with a bow tie on and talk to the town sheriff and do all that kooky stuff, you know, bowling and everything.
Bowling? The hell that? You come back with some money.
Man, if you didn't have such a great ass, I'd...
Now that's just too bad.
All right. Jesus. Beverly Hills 90210, that started sucking the minute Tori Spelling got more prominent. I think we can pretty much just trace it to that. All right. Thank you. Now let's talk a little bit about Star Trek The Next Generation. I can tell you when I began to get irritated with that show, and I was a big fan, when that holodeck, you know the holodeck where they go on like on vacation on the holodeck? What's up with Jean-Luc Picard always wanting to be some ship's captain out of the 18th century with the freaking hat? And then he's got Worf dressed as Mr. Christian. What the? Get out of here. Give I want outer space. That show really got bad when every show would open with them on the holodeck, and they're doing something quasi-fey, you know, like they're reading Shakespeare. They're playing characters out of a book or some freaking... Star Trek Voyager presents a separate problem. Star Trek Next Generation started to blow with that holodeck, but Star Trek Voyager almost blew it from the gate. Yes, I know it was on a few seasons, but we all know that Star Trek Voyager went bad when they introduced one thing and one thing only. A black Vulcan? All wrong. Cheers, I think we can all agree, began, and a female captain? No, I'm kidding about that. It's fine. We don't care. And I don't mind black folks. I just don't think, wouldn't you, all you black folks agree there ain't no black Vulcans? Come on, get out of here. Yeah, even black people would agree. There ain't no black freaking Vulcans. That just was wrong. They're all white. Maybe they can be orange or something, so we don't have to, but they're not black. First of all, a black cat with pointed ears. Spooky. All right. Cheers started sucking Showdilia when Kirstie Alley showed up. And now we move on to Third Rock from the Sun. Here's the part where I think we know that it had gotten taking itself a little too seriously, or maybe it just thought it was really funnier than it was, when John Lithgow started doing all of those AT&T commercials, you know? It's about savings. And that whole... Straight guys that act gay... Happy Days started to suck when that freaking Richie went in the army, and who cares? Two more seasons of Mary Beth and Joni and Chachi. Get rid of it. It's done. The Tonight Show really began to suck porcelain when Johnny was still the host and he was doing his Carson's Comedy Classic repeats, and they sucked. Cartoons, I think, started to suck when computers were introduced. All cartoons have been ruined by computers. Nobody can argue that with me. Nobody can tell me I'm wrong. No one can stay in an argument with me on that for more than 5 seconds. When computers were introduced, cartoons blew. Or as RC might say, bloon. Although they're getting better now. Okay, Super Friends really started to suck after so many years of being cool when they introduced the teen superheroes. Like, what's up with Wonder Woman's younger cousin? She's like all of a sudden Superboy, and he's like not the Superman, he's Superboy. Wasn't Superboy Superman as a kid? Now he grows up and is another Superboy? Bull crap. Roseanne was cool until they got a new Becky. That sucked boulders. Three's Company, no doubt, it sucked ass when Suzanne Summers left. Miami Vice, good show, but began to suck a varying shades of pastel bile when they started bringing on, like, rock stars to be in the show. So, in other words, Glenn Frey, Ted Nugent was an arms dealer, Phil Collins was a what? He was, like, the chief of homicide, and he's from England. It was like a snitch, some limey snitch down in Miami. Get out of here. Cosby Show really lost it and really started blasting those large cheese wedges when they brought on that second little girl, the stepdaughter of Lisa Bonet's. What? Get out of here. The show's off the air in a year. Streets of San Francisco terminally sucked when Michael Douglas split. That's Incredible began going downhill when stuff stopped being incredible. It was like, it's not incredible anymore. And now we're going to show a cat drinking milk. Whatever, man. Get an incredible thing. Well, we ran out. Yeah. And finally, Hollywood Square started to suck apple-sized turd nuggets when either Whoopi got the center square or Paul Lynde kicked off. And I think it might have happened the same time. I don't know. That's another edition here on the Phil Hendry Show of When Did It Start to Suck? Oh, pray tell.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
And now, Mental Health on Parade with Dr. Alvin Cooper. Dr. Cooper, preeminent in his field in mental health recovery. Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Alvin Cooper, and welcome to our program. A very, very good and pleasant good afternoon to all of you. I hope all of your dreams come true. I hope you're smiling. I hope you are filled with glee. I hope you skip and jump and generally make a scene of yourself. Go out and make a spectacle of yourself today. That's what we want from all of you, because once you break through those barriers of not caring, then you can begin to irritate and bother people with your behavior in public, and you'll feel good, but you'll drive them to a serious a quandary as to whether they want to get on the bus or go ahead and just impale you on a wrought iron fence that's somewhere near a public dumpster. But let's not move too heavily into that area. There are some things we need to talk about today, some bad news, but things we can deal with, because when we get bad news, we can always deal with it too. And that's the question that I want you to ask yourself. Can I deal with, do I have the tools, Dr. Cooper? Dr. Cooper, do I have the tools to deal with what's going to be going on in my life today? And of course you do. Of course you do. You have the tools. Any terrible event can be dealt with. Even, for instance, the terrible suffering that people went through during the Holocaust. The people who survived were able to deal with that with the right help. Trauma suffered when a child dies in a family. Things go wrong at work. The horrible POW experiences we've heard from Vietnam, or the news that we got today, which we're all still talking about at work. Eric Clapton is going to have another child, and that means he'll probably write another ballad. And that means we're going to have to deal with it, aren't we? Yes, yes, that's right. I know. I understand. The word came down early today. Eric Clapton, his wife, will have a baby, and that means Eric is going to sing another ballad. He's going to sing another song with the acoustic guitar, and we're going to have to listen to it and go, wow, you're so much better now than you were when you were blazing trails with the electric guitar on stage at the Fillmore. Just love to hear you really slow and tired with Iron Poor Blood now, Eric. Why would we ever want to hear Layla done fast when we can hear you do it slow, almost as if someone has given you his mainlined heroin directly into your heart? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, dealing with another ballad from Eric Clapton. Now, I'm going to take some phone calls, and then I'm going to play an Eric Clapton ballad, and I'm going to try to keep from swallowing my own tongue. Okay? Let's go to Roger. Hi, Roger.
Yeah, how you doing, doctor?
Roger, I'm doing well. Could you speak up?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Roger. What's going on?
Well, I heard about Clapton, you know, and I think at a time like this, all I can do is just hope, you know, just pray, because...
Can I ask you where you're calling from, Roger?
Yeah, I'm calling from Nebraska.
You are in Nebraska, so there's a lot of farmhouses there, aren't there?
Yes, there are.
All right. So naturally, the first thing you think about when you hear that Eric Clapton's having another baby, so that means another ballad, is you want to go into one of those farmhouses and perhaps using a sickle or a scythe, kill everyone in the farmhouse. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that was the first thing that came to my mind, naturally.
Well, naturally it did. Of course it did. And that's what we're going to hopefully prevent. Now, I want you to join me, Roger.
Okay.
I'm going to play a ballad here from Oh, okay, here it is. Yeah, all right, I got to stop it.
No,
Hold on, Roger. Hold on. Yeah, that's the one. Uh-huh. Yep, that's it. If I could change the world. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Are you with me, Roger? Are you okay?
I'm in. Over?
It's just beginning.
Oh, man.
You can do this, Roger, okay? I'm going to play this, and let's keep our tongues out of our throats, okay? And you at home, join along. Let's listen to Eric singing another one of his slow songs that all the chicks dig, and let's try and keep from swallowing our tongues, okay?
I'm going to try.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
All right, okay, it's out of my throat. Come on, Roger, you can do it.
Yeah, all right, I'm okay.
All right, good. Now, this guy could really play the blues at one time, but here, he's going to sing now. I can't do it.
You all right, Doctor?
I'm all right now. I can't do it. All right.
You want me to call a doctor?
I am a doctor.
Oh, okay.
All right, just hold on. I'll have to put him on hold. Okay, so there you go. Did you see that, huh? Did you see that? Let's go to ballad number two. I think this is the one that I was talking about, Craig. Isn't this Layla? I don't know. Where's the cover to our seat? Oh, here we go. Yes. Now, once upon a time, it was a perfectly good song, but since so many of us got married and had girlfriends and eventually had children, it wasn't acceptable to bring into the home. So we had to get Eric to somehow re-record all of his earlier good music and turn it into, well, what could only be described as something that ordinarily comes out of a mule's ass. Here it is, Layla, the kind that is acceptable. The kind that beer commercials is made out of. And listen to all of the lightweights. Seven shades of crap come sailing out of a mule's ass when I hear this. Okay, I've kept my tongue out of my throat so far. Isn't that great? I'm okay. Don't touch me.
Are you okay, Doctor?
No, I'm all right. Hold on. Okay. So there was Layla, and you don't know that because I couldn't even get to the vocals on that. I'm going to have to... Could I get one of the rubber tooth guards that we use in electroshock? Could I have that in here?
Okay, that's good. See? That'll keep my tongue from going down my throat. Now, the next song is a song... I understand that he lost his son. I know that he died. Can't he grieve in private? Does he have to turn it into a worldwide bestseller? This is called Tears in Your... Oh, Jesus, here it is. When is this guy gonna rock? I guess it's not gonna happen. Okay, see, I almost swallowed my tongue there. This is a great thing. This tooth guard is... Oh, shut up, will you? You know, here's my question. If your son falls down 40 floors, does that mean you have to punish the rest of us? That's all I want to do. I can't do it. Well, you can see, ladies and gentlemen, even with a high-density rubber mouth guard, to keep me from swallowing my own tongue, it's impossible. I can't listen to Eric Clapton doing his ballads without wanting to swallow my tongue, eat my own face, commit wholesale murder. Well, that's been an edition today of Dr. Alvin Cooper, Mental Health on Parade. Hey, Eric, if you invested in a screen for your window, you could have spared us the tragedy of that song. We'll be back next week with another edition of Mental Health on Parade on a
Phil Henry Show.
Phil. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Had an opportunity today to field a phone call. Actually, Mike did, and I don't want to say who specifically it was from. I'm not gonna say anything other than that we had initial interest. It's kind of exciting for me. We've had some initial interest from a book publisher. And it's something that I've always, you know, I kind of wanted to be a writer when I was growing up. But, and you know what the whole thing with my life was? I wanted to be a writer, and the radio business was going to simply be my way of making a living while I wrote the great American novel, while I was another Steinbeck, another William Faulkner, whoever. And so that never happened because, the funny thing about that, it never happened because I was too lazy to sit down and write. I wonder, but other than that, I think I would have been great. I think I would have had a career as a great writer had I simply actually worked at it instead of drinking Bud malt liquor and playing spades every Friday night. But, you know, at least I gave it a shot. I bought a pen and a notepad. Now, today, we're very excited to have some initial interest. And I've been thinking about what we might do. As a matter of fact, on vacation, I'm going to sketch out some ideas, come up with a game plan, perhaps a, what do you call it, an outline or a diagram? What do they call when they put together a book, Mike? It's like an outline or a broadside, or I don't know, what do they call them, the ramparts? Or there's a word. It sounds like you're on a the galleys, that's it, the galleys? Or is a galley something that's already written? I don't know. But in any event, what do you want, bud?
I was going to sit down.
You want to sit down?
Yeah, I just want to sit and listen.
Are you interested in what I'm saying?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, okay, sure. Well, don't sit there and hold your mouth like you're laughing.
Well, you know, I forgive me, but it's nuts.
What is?
Well, you say you're going to be a writer? What are you, some kind of a Mickey Spillane or something?
No, I'm not Mickey Spillane. I got some interest from a publisher.
Well, I heard you got interest from a publisher, but don't you think you should be honest with them and tell them that you're not a writer?
What do you mean I'm not a writer? I mean, they know I'm not a writer. They know I'm a radio personality. They want my story. They, whatever story I come up with.
What are you going to do?
What do you mean, what am I going to do? Is that such a far stretch for me to be a writer?
You want an honest answer?
Yes, I'd like an honest answer.
Yes, it is.
Why?
You're a radio talk show person of per people. You don't be a writer. Writer like John Grisham and Dr. Seuss. They're the people.
Dr. Seuss, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Seuss wrote kid books. I wouldn't hardly call him a writer.
He was brilliant.
Brilliant. You remind me of Taylor. Would you guys go back home and blast up and read Dr. Seuss?
Yeah. But you'd be nothing but a talk DJ. That's all you ever be.
Well, I got a chance right now, Dickman. How dare you? I got a chance to bust out.
You're gonna bust your best butt like the guy who talked about breaking the butt. But you never be a writer.
Why not? Why can't I dream? Look it, a publisher calls me today.
Which one?
I'm not going to say.
Well, it doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
Could be one of those vanity press.
It's not a vanity press. It's a real guy, a real writer, a real publisher. They want to...
How do we know it's not a vanity press?
Look, at first of all, you're using terms people don't know.
All right, a vanity press is when you pay a publisher to publish your book, so you're paying to have it published. And
how do you know about this, by the way?
Because I've done some reading.
You've done some reading.
You called yourself, didn't you?
I did what?
You called yourself.
I called myself.
Right. That's what I mean by a vanity press.
That's what you mean by a vanity press. So, in other words, I placed a call to my own office and offered myself a book deal.
Yeah, that's where you can get around being a vanity press.
You must be even dumber than you usually are. You must be kidding, right?
No, did you call yourself?
Of course I didn't call myself. You know something, man, if you want to waste my time...
You paid Mike to call you and pretend to be a publisher.
God, you know something, dude? What you first ought to do, really, seriously, is get your teeth fixed so that we know what you're saying. A publisher?
I lost a tooth last night.
Lost a tooth last night in a bar fight. No, a publisher. No, Mike didn't call me.
Well, that's a vanity press when you call yourself.
Yeah, that's right. That's what a vanity press is. Can I tell everybody that?
Well, they can hear me.
No, let me let them all know. Hey, you guys, a vanity press is when you place a call to yourself and offer yourself a book deal. That's a vanity press. What an idiot.
You let a friend call and pretend to be a publisher.
Look, man, either you get your teeth fixed or sober up, whatever the trouble is. Get some insulin. Maybe you're having low blood sugar. But if you're going to come on here and talk publisher, publisher, and everything else and sound like an idiot, bug off, get out of here, all right? I got a call from a publisher who wants to publish me.
I've written a book or two.
You wrote a book about what?
Buddisms and my motorcycle accident and how it affected my life.
What's Buddism?
Buddism, a religion.
You mean Buddhism?
Buddhism. Don't get on me because you never be nothing but a talk monkey.
Oh, so there it is. There it is. You look down your nose at what I do, don't you?
Well, it's Phil. You're a talk monkey. You do come in and be the monkey.
I'm a talk monkey.
Yeah, before that, you're a record monkey.
Well, I'm going to prove you wrong, Dickman, okay? You can sit there and write your book about Buddhism if you want to. God.
It's about Buddhism.
Are you a Buddhist?
Yeah, I am. I saw in the New York Times you say you're Buddhist, too.
I practice Buddhism. It's none of your business, okay?
So you do Buddhism.
I do Buddhism. It ain't Buddhism.
I'm a serious reporter. You're a puppet.
Hey, man, I'm not going to sit and have the argument with you, all right? What I'm going to tell you is this, okay?
You're just a talk monkey and a record monkey.
You just run your big fat mouth all you want, Dickman. And a publisher called me today, and...
You're Bobby, you're going to be a little talk chimpanzee. Record monkey, record monkey. You blab, 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 but you never be able to put a coherent thought together. Monkey boy Phil. You're a record monkey boy.
Are you trying to piss me off? Is that what you're trying to do?
No, I want you to get some reality in your head. You're not never be anything but monkey boy.
Are you? If you're trying to piss me off, you're doing a good job, because I'm about ready to kick you right through a window.
Well, that's your answer to everything.
What is?
Your answer is violence.
My answer to everything is violence, yeah. How many times? Okay, yes, I have hit you, all right?
Yeah, your answer to every time I say something, you ain't going to be no Edgar. Do you think you're going to be Alan Edgar Poe?
Do I think I'm going to be Alan Edgar Poe? No, man, I think I'm going to be Edgar Allan Poe.
I don't know who he is, but Alan Edgar Poe...
Edgar Allan Poe's the guy you're thinking of.
No, Alan Edgar Poe wrote about the bird. In fact, didn't he do the birds?
No, that was Al...
Yeah, he did the birds.
That was Alfred Hitchcock.
The Crow.
No, that was that other cat. You know what? Why don't you show me how to write a book, write it all out about how Alan Edgar Poe wrote The Crow. Then, when you're done with that, tell me all about Buddhism and how to keep your teeth in your head on a Friday night on a motorcycle.
You'll never be no Lester Bangs and write good none.
Lester Bangs? He was a good writer, okay?
The Crow, they made a movie about it.
Jesus.
Yeah, never be nothing but a monkey boy.
You know what? I'm going to prove you wrong, Dickman. I'm going to prove you and everybody that doubts me wrong. I am going to write this book. I'm going to get it out there.
Talk, monkey.
Go ahead. Make fun of me.
Yeah. You're going to be like a martyr now?
No. You're the guy that came in here and started making fun of me.
Well, you're boring everybody. When I was a child, I wanted to be a writer. And, of course...
Well, I'm telling everybody about my life. What's wrong with that?
Get on with it. Do a show. Jesus. Sitting there talking.
Well, you know that I'm self-conscious. I'm talking about the...
Yeah, you're talking about... You wanted to be a writer when I was a boy. But now, I'm going to be a talk monkey. And I've been a talk monkey for all these years.
You done?
Don't act hurt.
I am hurt.
Don't act hurt. No Call of the Wild Jack London for you.
I don't want to do Jack London, and I ain't going to be no Alan Edgar Poe.
Shut up and do some voices and make us laugh, will you? Come on, do a voice, make us laugh. Make me laugh.
Bud, I'm going to lay you on a railroad track and watch the Metro Rail run you over. Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, your talk monkey.